Would you pray with me? Our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we praise Thee, O Lord. We thank Thee for the rich blessings You've bestowed upon us. Father, it is our desire that Thy name would be exalted in all the earth. And we pray, Father, that You would shower Thy Holy Spirit upon us, that through our efforts we might proclaim Thy goodness and mercy and grace, that we might exalt Thee, Heavenly Father. We are mindful of those who are sick and afflicted, those who are poor and cast down, and ask that You bless each one and supply every need according to Thy riches and glory. Father, we confess a continual need in Thee, but as we come to this hour, Father, we feel a special need of the leadership of Thy Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that You would separate us from the cares of this life and from all those things that might hinder, and that we might set our affection upon heavenly things. I pray that You would bless me, Heavenly Father, to proclaim the gospel with power and in demonstration of the Spirit, and that You would bless each one here, Father, to hear Your message, and help us, Father, to apply these things to our lives, and help us, Father, to walk closer to Thee in days to come. Bless, Father, wherever the gospel is preached, wherever Thy church meets this day. Make Your will known to Thy people and give us grace to follow Thee. Forgive us our sins, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Call your attention this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. I'm going to read a lengthy passage here because I think it's necessary to get all this in context. I read from the 41st verse down to the last verse, the verse 56. Obviously, we can't bring out all that is in this passage, but we need to see the connection of the events that are taking place. And you remember that we have studied the early part of this chapter, and we talked about that man, the Gadarene, from whom Jesus cast out the demons. So there's a continuation, and there's connection in the events that are taking place. So I would encourage you to study and read the whole chapter and get all that connection. But in Luke chapter 8, we begin reading at verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought Him that He would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living on physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, and he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Now, we have been doing a series of messages involving those who were at the feet of Jesus Christ. And my purpose is to Lord willing, draw all of us and help us all to come to the feet of Jesus Christ, to make Him the very center of our life, to put our life in proper order before Him. And I hope we've seen in these examples that there is application to certain aspects of our life. For instance, we talked about Mary and how she sat at the feet of Jesus. Her sister Martha was cumbered about with much serving, but Mary chose that good part. She realized that activity is necessary at times, but there has to be time to be at the feet of Jesus Christ. We saw Mary as she anointed the feet of Jesus, and I believe that is a great example of worship. And we talked about her using that very expensive ointment. And worship requires sacrifice. We have to give not only of our material goods, give of ourselves if we're going to worship Jesus properly. We saw that Gadarene whom Jesus cast out devils. Jesus has cast out devils out of every one of us. He cast out the power of Satan over us. He's cast out the power of that old natural man that tries to dominate us sometimes. And He has brought us to His feet, clothed us with His righteousness, and given us a right mind to serve Him. So you see different aspects of being at the feet of Jesus. But I believe this man here, Jairus, is an example for us for prayer. As he came beseeching Jesus. God's Word tells us that he has, we would say, only one daughter, but the Bible says one only. A daughter about 12 years old, and he said she's a dying. And that's the old English for she's about to die. In Matthew's account of this event, Matthew says that he says she is dead already. I understand that probably what this means is that man left his daughter very low, as he said, about to die. And from Matthew's perspective, he says she's probably dead already. She was in such a condition when I left that she's probably dead now. But nevertheless, he came to Jesus. Mark's gospel tells us that he besought him greatly. He came begging. He came praying unto Jesus. In Mark chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Mark's account says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell down at his feet." He fell down in prayer. He fell down knowing that this was the object, the desire of his prayer. He fell down before Jesus and he besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may live, that she may be healed, and she shall live." I want you to try, if you can, to put yourself in Jairus' position. You've got only one child, only one daughter, and she's dying. And here's one that can help. And think of how earnestly you would seek Him, how earnestly you would pray unto Him. We might be prone to think that he's just grasping at straws. Here's one that might be able to help, and putting myself in his position, I'd try anything. But I'm going to tell you, this is not a case of him just trying anything. He came to one in whom he had faith. One who he believed had the power to heal his daughter, and one whom he believed was willing to come into his house. In John chapter 6, Jesus states his purpose in coming down to earth. In John chapter 6, and beginning at verse 38, this particular verse begins with Jesus saying, "I came down from heaven." You know, that upset the Jews greatly for a man to say, "I came down from heaven." They considered it blasphemy. It is absolute truth. God came down from heaven and took the form of a man and took the form of a servant. But Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." Now, pause there to point out the fact that Jesus said that I should lose nothing, no thing. Why didn't he say no one? Because Jesus didn't come simply to save souls. He came to save a complete man, a complete being, a complete person. Body, soul, and spirit. And he's going to lose nothing, not even this old earthly body. He came to redeem that as well. He's not going to lose anything. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Then the Jews murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said unto him, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he saith, I came down from heaven?" It's hard to grasp. It was hard for them who were unbelievers, doubters. It's hard for me to grasp that God became a man. And yet God's Word declares that it's absolute truth. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." No man can come to Jesus except the Father draws him. And I'm going to tell you, when Jairus came to Jesus, he was drawn there by the Father. The Father, through the Holy Spirit, had given him faith to believe that Jesus could and would heal his daughter. So he came. And he besought Jesus greatly. I'm not going to ask anybody to answer and identify. But do you pray for a lot of things that you don't see an answer to? Does it seem like sometimes you're just praying in vain? Do you pray as earnestly as Jairus besought Jesus? Do you pray as if your only child was dying? Well, you say, "No, I'm not in that condition." Well, I'm going to tell you, our children are dying to the joys of the church and to the joys of a relationship with Jesus Christ. There are many local churches, bodies of Jesus Christ, brides of Jesus Christ, that are dying. And we don't seek Jesus that earnestly. As long as we are comfortable where we are, oh yeah, it's my duty to pray, so I pray every day. But do I pray with an earnestness? And I'm going to have to confess to you that I'm not as earnest in some of my prayers as I ought to be. And I know exactly why my prayers are not being answered. I'm not earnest enough, and I'm not praying in faith. Oh, in my head, I know that God has all power, that He can do all things. I know that Jesus has promised to answer prayer. But you see, there's not a deep enough desire for me to come and fall at the feet of Jesus and beg Him to answer these prayers. so we don't see our prayers answered. So we need to look at Jairus and come to the feet of Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, in the 4th chapter, is a wonderful passage of Scripture that talks about the privilege that we have as children of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and beginning at verse 14. And I want to call your attention especially to how this verse begins. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. We have a great high priest in Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession to us. The writer here says that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Because he became a man, he knows what we go through. He knows what we feel. Jesus didn't literally have a child, a natural offspring that he could identify with a daughter about to die. But he knows exactly the feelings of those in that condition. He knows exactly what you feel in all your troubles and trials and tribulations. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. But the whole point of this passage then is in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus invites us to come to Him, to come to our Heavenly Father through Him and make our petitions known. And we can come boldly, not rashly or proudly or anything else, but we can come because we have the authority to come. We can come without fear of being turned away. We can come in confidence of being received at our Father's throne of grace because we are the redeemed children of God. And we have the rights and privileges of children. So let's come boldly to the throne of grace. Now look back in Luke chapter 8. I love the continuity of this passage. He came to Jesus and besought Him that He would come into His house. I guess we could bring a whole message about inviting Jesus into your house. I don't know if we really want Jesus in our house. We want Him to visit with us when we come to church, but do we want Him abiding in our house? That's something to consider. But in Luke chapter 8, Jairus had besought Jesus. Jesus didn't say, according to the record, He didn't say, well, I'll think about it, I'll be there when I have time, or anything of that nature. Luke simply says, but as He went, we just take it for granted that Jairus asked Him to go, and He went, as He went. He had come to the throne of grace, He had come boldly, and He found grace to help in His time of need. Jesus went. But notice, as He went, the people thronged Him. They had heard of His power. They had heard of the miracles that He had done. Everybody crowded around Jesus. Not everybody came to Jesus in faith. You know, Jesus one time told the multitudes that they came because of the loaves and fishes. They came to fill their belly and not for the message that He preached or not for the miracles that He did. They came for what they could get. And I believe much of this crowd that thronged Him, that prevented His going, were just that way. They came for what they could get. But as He went, the people thronged Him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years had spent all her living on physicians and could not be healed. Now, I'm not, for the sake of time, going to go into this message. But this woman, and the other accounts said, she had just said to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She came to him in faith. And when she went to him in faith, she was healed. Jesus asked, who touched me? Jesus never asked a question in order to gain information. Jesus knows all things. He knew exactly who touched him. But he asked that question to turn the minds of the people to that woman and what had happened. And it was Jesus told her, your faith has made you whole. Now again, let's go back and consider Jairus. Put yourself in that position. Your little daughter is dying. And you go to Jesus and he's agreeable. He's going to your house. And he starts, but he's hindered. And here's this woman. She's been suffering for 12 years. What's another day? Why didn't Jesus just pass her by and say, I'll come back, or we'll take care of this tomorrow? Jesus dealt with her right there. That matter was pressing with the little daughter. Nothing's pressing with Jesus Christ. With absolute power of God, he knew exactly what he would do. He knew exactly what he could do. Can you imagine Jesus being rushed about anything? He's the one that created time. He certainly controls it. You know, the Bible talks about Joshua and he's fighting the battle and he asked the sun to stand still. God can stop time. And Jesus could very well have stopped time then if it was necessary. It wasn't necessary. He healed that woman and then he went on his way. But there was one who, one of Jairus' servants came and said, your daughter is dead. Is all hope gone now? Luke 8:19, he says, while he yet spake, Jesus is speaking to this woman, has told her that her faith has made her whole, and told her to go in peace, that there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Again, can you imagine Jesus being troubled? I think he is troubled at doubts and fears. He's troubled when he sees his children failing to come to him. But is Jesus ever troubled when we come to him in prayer? Is Jesus ever troubled when one comes to him in faith? I don't believe he ever is. And I don't believe there's a sin that you can come and confess before Jesus that's going to trouble him if you come in repentance. But when you fail to come, I believe that troubles our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's not troubled to help his children. Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master anymore. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Fear not. How can you not be afraid? How can you not see your little child dying and then not bring fear? When you think about losing your child and having to live your life without that child, how can you not be afraid? By believing. By trusting in Jesus Christ. Believe only. And then all the fear and doubts, all the troubles will be taken away from you. I think one of the other Gospel accounts has Jesus saying, only believe. I like this expression. Believe only. Let belief, let your faith overrule all those doubts and fears. Sometimes faith has to overrule even common sense. Human reasoning says there's no hope, she's dead. Human reasoning has to bow before faith in Jesus Christ. It may look like it is completely impossible. Believe only. Trust in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to tell you that if your child is dying, that you can pray and that child will be restored to life. This is a unique case. It doesn't happen very often, but it happens according to God's will. You know, sometimes it's according to God's will that He calls His children home. We look at that through human eyes, and that looks like a bad thing. It's a blessing sometimes. It's always a blessing for those who go home to be with the Lord. You know, I spoke at the funeral last week, and from our natural perspective, we've got all this thing backward. We call this the land of the living. And then, you know, we know that if Jesus delays His coming, we're going to die. So we dread going to the land of death. That's completely backwards. This is the land of death. We're headed toward the dying of this old body. Everything we see around us is dying. But brothers and sisters, we go to the land of life. That's where true living is. So we don't need to be bowed down in sorrow when a loved one passes. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus has the power. And sometimes it is pleasing to Him when one is sick and we go to Jesus and bow at His feet and greatly beseech Him in faith. And He's pleased to restore to life. To do things that are impossible. I want to close by reading to you in the Gospel of Mark in the 9th chapter. Mark chapter 9 and beginning at verse 17. This is one of the other miracles of Jesus, casting out of here is called a dumb spirit, the power of Satan. Mark chapter 9 and beginning at verse 17. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Now let me pause here to remind you that he gave his disciples power over the unclean spirits, power to cast out demons. They couldn't in this case. And Jesus said, it's because you're a faithless generation, because you did not trust in the power of God. And Jesus said, bring him to me. In those cases where I can't do it, I can always bring them to Jesus. We can always come to the feet of Jesus and have our petitions granted. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, Jairus had a daughter that was dying. That was bad. But think about this child. And that demon that possessed him, casting him into the fire, casting him into the water, trying to destroy him. Think of the agony that those parents suffered to see their child that way. And he said, if you can do anything, help us. I believe that's a great mixture of faith and doubt together there. If you can do anything, help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. He said, the man said, if you can do anything, in effect, Jesus said, it's not a question of whether I can do anything. It's a question of whether you can believe. And if you can believe, all things are possible. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I've told you many times how I identify with that. Can you not identify with that? Have you not said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. There's a part of me that has assurance that Jesus Christ can do anything. I still have to contend with that old natural man. I still have to contend with that human reasoning that says it's impossible. So, Lord, help mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. It's not enough that he cast him out. Jesus said, don't come back anymore. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, in so much that many said, he is dead. That spirit didn't give up easily, did he? He had sought to destroy the child. At the command of Jesus, he came out, but he still tried. He still tried his best to destroy that child. But you forget all that. Everything's changed now. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. I'm going to tell you, if you're born of the Spirit of God, you were like one dead. And Jesus took you by the hand, and he lifted you up. And when he lifted us up, we arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, saying, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto him, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. The disciples had power to cast him out. They just didn't use the authority in the right way. Perhaps they prayed, but nothing happened. When you pray, nothing happened. You're either praying the wrong way or you're not praying enough. Or perhaps you need to add fasting to the prayer. But we need to follow that example of Jairus. Come to Jesus and fall at his feet, confessing that he is Lord and that he has the power, and entrusting him, even though it seems humanly impossible. With God, all things are possible. And if you prayed and nothing happened, pray more earnestly. If you prayed earnestly and nothing's happened, add fasting to your prayer. But trust Jesus. Believe his promise. Fall at his feet. That God may be glorified in us. And that is my prayer for Christ's sake.